Hello everyone, Andy here, and here's what you can look forward to in today's episode.
In today's episode, I was joined by Luke Campbell as we preview week 14 of the 2025 NFL season. I discuss whether there's light at the end of the tunnel for Jets fans as they prepare to take on my Dolphins.
To be fair, the Jets, you know, out there with the Lions, there's a lot of similarities that you could draw between the Lions, their first year with Dan Campbell, and this first year with Aaron Glenn.
Luke discusses the Colts as we preview a massive AFC South clash this weekend.
But I also think maybe the Colts are being found out to an extent. I think people have watched tape and have seen, you know, the game plan.
And much more as we predict each game winner in Andy versus the guest. And Luke tells us what his experience is like watching the NFL in Australia.
It's pretty good. Do you know, the funny thing is, it's really weird watching NFL first thing in the morning.
Hope you all enjoy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Across the Pod NFL podcast. I am, as ever, your host today, Andy Davis, and I'm here to preview week 14 of the 2025 NFL season. Now, with me, I've got a returning guest. Back with us today, back on the show, is our resident Bears fan, Luke Campbell. Luke, how are you? How are things?
I'm good, mate. Yeah, I'm good. It's been a little while since I've been on the show, actually. I've been pretty busy in the meantime, but thanks for having me on. It's great to see you.
Yeah, you too. And yeah, you mentioned it then, things have happened a lot since you last came on the show. Of course, you last came on the show during the summer, our Chicago Bears season preview episode, and there'll be some of you watching on YouTube thinking, why does Luke's screen look a lot lighter than my screen? Well, since Luke came on the show last, he has moved to Australia. It's currently 7:41 p.m. in the UK on a Thursday. As for Luke, it's 6:30 in the morning on a Friday morning. So, yeah, a lot's happened for you since. But how's Australia? How is our life for you?
It's pretty good. Do you know, the funny thing is, it's really weird watching NFL first thing in the morning. So the games kick off, instead of 6 o'clock at night, it's 5 in the morning, red zone starts. And usually what happens is I get up about 6 and watch the games on a Monday, but it's brilliant. And the really great thing is I get to watch the late games as they happen, because they kick off about lunchtime. And even better, the Super Bowl kicks off at like 10:30 Australia time, which is just like, yes. So it's interesting. I think it's growing in popularity over here, actually, slowly but surely. But I think it's got a lot of competition over here for sports and stuff. But Australia is amazing. The people are amazing. It's been a really different but great lifestyle. I'm currently sat out in my patio at the moment, which is quite nice because the temperature is lovely. But I'm also afraid of the Australian spiders. So there is a flip side.
that's definitely a thing that would put me off living there. Not that I would let that, you know, I'm sure after a while you get used to it. But yeah, the thought of the spiders and the snakes is always, a bit of a, have you seen any yet? Have you seen any snakes or spiders since you've moved?
I've seen a couple of the spiders. I've not had, and I don't want to curse it, but I've not had one of these big huntsman spiders, which are like the size bigger than your hand. But they're not dangerous. But I've not actually seen any snakes, because I'm in Canberra, which is quite kind of urban. And I say urban, but it's actually, it's nothing like any of the major cities here in the UK. It's very green and lush and stuff. So, yeah, but nothing yet. But I am afraid of the big huntsman one, because I don't really want to have to deal with it. If I'm honest. I'll be like, shoot. That's the best Australian accent I can come up with, by the way.
it's amazing. I've always thought about that 10 a.m. start, because I found out that before about, you know, the Super Bowls are on that early in games, on the early. So you have to, obviously you have to work around work. I'm guessing you can't probably watch the full game. I only bit to the game. If you've only got like an hour lunch break, for example, I'm guessing you can't sit there and watch the whole game in work.
Well, I'm lucky, actually. I kind of have my own office and I have my own TV, which means that I have the game on in the background. So, sometimes I'll take a bit of time to watch the full game. So, for instance, the game this Monday will be kind of 8:25 my time. as a kickoff, which would be perfect for me, so I can sit and have it on in the background in the office. And I'll try not to have any meetings, pretty much, so I can sit and watch the game and pretend to work. I mean, work hard. Sorry if my boss is watching. But, you know, I definitely will be watching the game, or at least keeping an eye on it. But it does have its challenges, there's no question. But I think overall it's been pretty positive, and there's still enough banter on, you know, the WhatsApp channels and stuff like that that keeps it real, you know what I mean? So it's pretty good.
Amazing stuff, amazing. Well, it's good that you're having a good time in Australia. I mean, I dread to think what that flight was like getting to Australia. The 24 hours of flying must have been pretty horrific.
It was pretty long, I've got to say. Especially, I think the leg from the Middle East to Australia was like 14 hours, and that felt like it was never ending. And I think it's quite a common sort of people say that, you know, the second part of the flight, typically you're stopping through the Middle East or something, and that's the bit that's the killer coming here. But once you're here, it's fine. You know, it's kind of like a distant memory now. But yeah, it sort of makes you think a lot about travel, because you're talking about 10, you know, 8 hours just to get across Australia, never mind anything else. So it's quite a long flight, actually, to get anywhere.
Well, yeah, I'm hoping to experience that myself in August or September, because there's obviously the first ever NFL game in Australia coming next year in Melbourne. And a friend of mine has moved to Sydney, a good friend of mine, Adam. So I'll be hoping to mix in seeing him, is maybe going to see the game, the Rams game as well in Melbourne, and sort of getting a quick flight over to Melbourne from Sydney and doing it that way. A quick cup of news before we go on to this week's version of Andy versus a guest. Darius Slay, who had been claimed by the Buffalo Bills on Thursday, is unsure if he wants to continue playing and will not be reporting to Buffalo. And also other news, they've announced this year's Man of the Year nominees from each team. The most biggest names that have been nominated are the likes of Derrick Henry, DJ Moore, Jordan Love, Travis Kelce, Max Crosby, and Bradley Chubb and Baker Mayfield. So Now it's time to predict each winner from each game in Week 14. But before we do that, let's find out the results on Week 13 of Andy versus the Guest. Well, in Week 13, it was actually a tie between me and our guest, Cullen Amel, which means that at the moment it is still 5-5 between Andy and the guest. Of course, a friend of ours, Steve, came on the show 2 weeks ago, and he did predict 4 more games likely me, whereas me and Cullen did actually draw, so it means that it is now 5-5 between Andy and the guest. We had 4 different scores together. So, for example, I had wins for the Texans and the Buccaneers, correct? Whereas Cullen had wins for both the Falcons and also the Chiefs and all the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, which meant, yeah, it was ended up being a draw. So, Luke, let's get into Week 14. And it starts off in, for us recording, in about 4 hours' time. By the time this podcast is released, this game will be done. But it is going to be a game in Detroit. Was actually a friend of the show, Ryan Farden, is actually going to be in attendance for. He's been there the last week. But they take on the Cowboys in a big game in terms of the NFC playoff picture. It's in Detroit. Luke, as you're the guest, I'm going to let you go first. Who's winning this game for you? Is it them Cowboys or is it the Lions? You're on mute, Luke.
Here we go. Can you hear me now? Sorry about
that. Yes. All good.
Perfect. I was probably swearing a lot at the Lions, if I'm honest with you. No, difficult one, this one, actually, because divisional rivalry aside, I actually think this is closer than a lot of the bookmakers are making it. I think the Cowboys have improved massively in the last few weeks. And I think defensively they've improved massively. I think the Lions might just have too much for the Cowboys. My heart says Cowboys because obviously I used to work for Sean Lee. But I'm going to go Lions in this one, I think. But it'll be very, very close, is what I think.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot closer than I think we all thought it'd be when you saw how the games were scheduled to start the season, when you saw the... You thought, Lions-Cowboys Week 14 is going to be an easy win for the Lions. But win the last few streaks have gone, I'm going for the Cowboys to win. In Detroit, I think they're going to upset the home crowd. I think there's been a lot that's worried me about this Lions team in recent weeks. Now, the game against the Packers, I thought, would be a lot more competitive than it was. I mean, still a great game. But it felt like always the Packers were always winning this game. The Packers were always a step ahead of the Lions in every aspect. And I think the defense of Dallas, especially, you know, after losing a guy like Micah Parsons, they've sort of handled that really well. And, you know, I've said it before, but they've overcome a lot off the field as well. And I just think as well, the way Pickett is playing right now, obviously Lamb as well, Jake Ferguson, even the run game had a good performance recently. I just think that if I look at, you know, how teams have played in the last couple of weeks alone, I think the Cowboys win it. I think it's going to be a win for them on full field. But we'll move on to the Sunday slate, as our first game is in Atlanta as the Seahawks travel to Mercedes-Benz Stadium and take on the Falcons. And I'm going to go for a win for the Seahawks. I think the Seahawks win this game. The Falcons are just too hard to predict. They're just too hard to predict. They could, you know, I said it before, but nothing defines the Falcons more than beating the Bills and then losing 30-0 to the Panthers in back-to-back games. And I just think, yeah, even though it's at home, I don't think home is much of an advantage for the Falcons. I don't think it's got the most intimidating atmosphere for opposition players. I think the Seahawks, Darnold had his moments of great play and poor play. But I think this game, they get the win. And their defense alone was really impressive against what was a rookie quarterback, well, first start of his career quarterback in Max Bosman. They gave him a torrid time. And I think I can see the same thing happen with Kirk Cousins with the Seahawks defense. So, yeah, give me the Seahawks to win. Luke, Seahawks or Falcons for you?
This is potentially a trap game for the Seahawks. We talk about this all the time, but this is the definition of a trap game, isn't it? I actually have a sneaky feeling that Seattle might lose this, actually. So I'm going to go with the Falcons in this one, just to be controversial as well, but I have a feeling it's a trap game. And you get those every now and again where it seems like it's one side absolutely certain. And I think home advantage is going to really make a difference here. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to go for.
Well, next up is a game that involves two teams that have taken on the Chiefs in big playoff games in the past. We've got the Buffalo Bills hosting the Cincinnati Bengals in Highmark Stadium. Most likely the Bengals' last ever game in the stadium. Luke, who wins it for you?
I'm going to go for the Bills in this occasion. I think so. I think the Bills are going to come back strong. You know, they've got a lot on the line. I mean, the Bengals arguably have a lot on the line as well, but I think the Bills are just going to get it done this time.
I agree. I do think the Burrow being back factor makes the Bengals more competitive, and I think that, you know, the win against the Ravens, I think, was a big win for them. And I think that, you know, their defense can play like it did against the Ravens, and then maybe. And the Bills haven't been great in recent weeks. They've been a bit hit and miss. But I just think that, you know, against the Bills side, it might just be too much. I think Josh Allen alone and James Cook, will give them a torrid time. And yeah, I think, you know, Bengals, this is one that I could easily be proved wrong. I hope I'm proved wrong, because not only does it affect the Bills, but also it makes the AFC North even more exciting. But no, I think for me, I'm going to go for the Bills. Next up involves, well, two of the three teams that we all predicted on our season predictions episode as to who'd have the number one overall pick, as the Cleveland Browns host Tennessee Titans. Of course, the Browns was picked by Steve and Titans were picked by yourself. So two teams that, you know, we all thought would be bad start of the year. So this one's a tough one for me, because I think both teams have been poor, but I think the Titans have been poorer. So I'm going to give the win to the Browns at home as well. You know, they've got a win against the Packers this year. You've got Myles Garrett, Quinshon Judkins, you know, there's a few, David Njoku as well. You know, this defense ranks third against the pass. They're 10th against the run as well. So this Cleveland Browns team, I think, against most teams in the league, are going to, you know, at least ruffle some feathers. But I think against who I think personally have been the worst team this year, for me, the Titans, I think the Browns win this. And I think they win this by far by their biggest margin this season. Luke, are you in agreement?
I'm with you, actually. I think the I can't remember what the line is, but it must be about 7.5, maybe, I think, for the Browns. And I just think the defense is the difference maker here. And I do feel for the Titans fans, because they've got some young talent on the offensive side, but it's just been a total car crash this season. And it has been really a hard watch for the fans, I think. So I think the Browns are going to win this. And really, like you, I think it's by a country mile, in all honesty. What a shame. I feel for the Titans fans.
Yeah, I mean, I think whenever a team hasn't done an overall pick, you think, okay, you've tanked, you've had a bad year, you know, all things are going to go up. And then you get another year where you get another first overall pick. It's rather concerning. You know, I think that the Jags had it, the Browns have had it before, we've had back-to-back years with them on overall picks. And let's be honest, neither have really done much. I mean, the Browns had their moment with Baker Mayfield. The Jags had their moment before they had these overall picks. But, you know, I think it's always a worry for a franchise that, you know, if you have back-to-back years, because at least one or two years you've got a new quarterback, and if a new quarterback isn't getting you in, well, I don't think it's Campbell's fault. It just shows the sort of the kind of talent around him isn't giving him enough help to win games. So, yeah, Titans for me, 100%. Massively worrying. Yeah. Next up, we're traveling to Minnesota as the Vikings host the Commanders. Luke, who wins this for you?
Vikings all the... No, I'm joking, actually. I'm never going to say Vikings. Not in a million years. Sorry, no. No, Commanders. Every time. By 7.
By 7. Love it. Love it.
They can stick their skull.
I've got Commanders as well. I think with Max Brosner, I'd be even more certain of a Commanders win. I do think, you know, with McCarthy back, it gives him a little bit, you know, of more of a chance of winning this game. He's back from the concussion protocol. But I was really impressed with what I saw from this Commanders team, despite losing on Sunday night.
Yeah.
I mean, the Katzenberg was stupendous. The defense held their own at times. And I just think that they battled a few games recently. They lost narrowly in Madrid to Miami. They lost narrowly in overtime to the Broncos, or both games were overtime. So I think they're due a win. I think they're due a win. And I think the Vikings, I think there's a lot of unrest regarding Jefferson, and it's been poor quarterback play. And I think McCarthy been great, really, apart from that one quarter in week one against your Bears. This is the testing time for them. And I think this is the one year when O'Connell can't make it work with any quarterback he has. Moving on, though, to next game, which involves my team, as my Dolphins travel to MetLife Stadium and the New York Jets. Of course, a game that I was at last year in Week 18 in MetLife Stadium. But this time, it'll be a lot happier return for the Dolphins. I think they're going to win here. The Jets, if I hadn't seen that win against the Falcons, I'd be even more confident of a win. I think the Jets actually were quite impressive in that win against the Falcons. But I do think... See, it's in New York, and I think there's definitely a world where they win, because we haven't been that convincing in wins recently. We were lucky to get a win in Madrid. We were fortunate to get a win in New Orleans. We almost blew that one up in last week. So I'm not too confident of a win, but I think we might have the edge on this one. I just don't see the Jets winning back-to-back games, if I'm truly honest. So give me the Dolphins. Luke, who wins it for you?
Oh, now, do you know what? This is really tricky, because you guys have been so up and down this year that you honestly, it's so Jekyll and Hyde, and it's I think it's unbelievable what's happened. I actually think it's going to be really, really close, and I'm going to go with the Jets, and I think it might even go to overtime, actually, because I think the Jets, they improved a lot. I mean, the Jets have been up and down as well themselves, and it's been tricky, but I think the Jets might take you in overtime, actually. So I'm going to go with that side. Sorry, Andy. Do you know what? I think being a Dolphins fan has been a hard watch this year, honestly. You come in with high expectations, and it's been tricky, to say the least.
Well, it's been hard work for the whole 50 years of being a fan. I can't think of many. Even the good years we had a couple of years ago, you know, that was still filled with a lot of up and down performance again. The Jets, you know, Aaron Glenn worked with the Lions. There's a lot of similarities that you could draw between the Lions, their first year with Dan Campbell, and this first year with Aaron Glenn. And I could easily see the Jets winning this game, especially as it's in New York, in New Jersey, in MetLife. But I'm going to be a little bit confident in my boys and hope we can get a win and try and cling on to these very small playoff hopes we've got. We're still in this playoff picture, according to the NFL graphics, but let's face it, we aren't going to make the playoffs. But it's just good to end the season on a high. So for me, I'm having faith in my boys, but I wouldn't be shocked if we actually lose this game, if I'm truly honest. Next up, a bit easier to predict for me, Buccaneers traveling to the Saints. I'm going to give the win to the Bucs. Bucs weren't that impressive against the Cardinals. They got the win. They got the job done, which is the most important thing. They've been on a bit of a slump in recent weeks. They've lost, I think, four of the last five games or three of the last four. I think we could go an upset alert, but I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to pick the Buccaneers because I just think that the Saints are pretty awful, But on the one positive, Irishman Charlie Smith is set to start for a second consecutive week. He's been taken from the practice squad and back to the roster, and he will start on Sunday. So good news for Irish NFL fans and British NFL fans in general. Luke, who wins this for you?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that the Saints have been a bit of a car crash this year as well. Another tough watch if you're a fan of them, in all honesty. So I think you're right. I'm with you on this. I think it's easy. And I think the Saints are going to just throw them. They are their own worst enemy as well, it has to be said. And I don't think anyone will disagree with me. It's been tough. Considering the players that they do have, I don't know how they are so bad. I just don't.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few players here and there. You've got Chris Olave, but the thing is, you've got a lot of, like, you've got an aging Cam Jordan, an aging Alvin Kamara. You've got a rookie head coach. You've got loads of players. Like, you've got two quarterbacks. I don't think either of them are really started. I don't think Shuck or Rattler are really long-term part of the franchise. Young players who haven't got the experience or maybe aren't good enough at that level, and veteran players that maybe are past their best. So, not many players that they can really, have too many hopes on for the future.
It's tough because Kamara can still get it done. I can't even say his name. It's that early, obviously, here in Australia. But I still think he could get it done. You know, he's still good enough. He's got, enough talent there still and enough juice left in the tank. But I think maybe you are right that it is just the wrong combination of players getting over the hill and another a real big question at quarterback. And I think the rookie head coach is really out of his depth as well, unfortunately. And I think that's been shown throughout this season. I can't see him continuing, let's just put it that way. I'd be very surprised.
I think it might give them time, but also I wouldn't be shocked either. It's one of those things where you can see it both ways. You can see why they'd keep him and you can see why they'd fire him as well. Moving on, though, to two teams in what is, I think, our last two games we got here for the 6 p.m. slate, I think, are by far the biggest games of certainly the 6 p.m. slate, and maybe even two of the three or four biggest games of the entire week. Our first one is in Jacksonville as the Jags host the Colts in a big AFC South battle. Of course, both teams are on the same amount of wins, on the same records. It's a really interesting one. You've got the Jags, who've got the best pass defense in the league. Then you've got this Colts team who started the season so well, have the MVP candidate in Taylor, but they've fallen off in recent weeks. So a tough one to predict. And I'm going to let Luke decide first because I'm still stuck who to pick. So I'll let Luke go first.
Well, I'm actually going to go with the Jags. And the reason I'm going to go with the Jags is I think, as you highlight, that the defense is really good. But I also think maybe the Colts are being found out to an extent. I think people have watched the tape and have seen, their game plan. I think we've seen it in recent weeks. They've gone off the boil. But I think that's because coaches or opposition coaches are getting wise to them. I do genuinely think it's going to be very close. But I've got the Jags to edge this, I think.
Same. I think for me, you put a nail on the head. I said start of the year, I think they were pretenders. And I think we saw in that Falcons game the sort of what was going on because Jones struggled. He got the job done. He got what he needs to have. But I think you said it perfectly then. I think we've seen a lot of teams work out how to play them. I think if you stop Jonathan Taylor, I think you stop, you know, you stop this Colts team. Now I'm going to quickly get some stats up on Jonathan Taylor's rushing yards. So looking at sort of the last few games they've had, so, you know, let's look at their losses. So he's had his best few games rushing wise have been 244 yards in Germany, they won. 165 yards, 25 carries against Broncos, they won. 102 yards from 17 carries in week 3, they won. 21 carries, 123 yards against the Cardinals, they won. Titans again, later on in the season, 153 yards, 12 carries. But the games they've lost this season, the Colts, 76 yards against the Rams in week 4. Then he had 14 carries for 45 yards in a loss to the Steelers, 58 yards against the Chiefs in a loss, and 85 yards against the Texans. So it's clear to see that if you stop the Colts and stop Taylor running, and you tell Daniel Jones, right, it's on you to win this game for us, it often hasn't happened. So I think there's a clear game plan then there, and I think this Jags team has been brilliant against the pass. So I think if they can stop Taylor with the run game, I think they'll have a good chance of stopping this Daniel Jones-led offense. So yeah, I'm going to go for the Jags as well. And also they're at home. I don't know whether the Jags is much of a home advantage, but I think at the same time, if ever in doubt, always go for the extra rest or the home advantage. Finally, we've got an AFC North battle. I've actually written a piece on it today for the franchise tag. I don't think it's yet been published, but it might be when this podcast is released, about how this AFC North is becoming unmissable by being unwatchable. All four teams being poor, inconsistent. But the Steelers' shortcomings have allowed the Ravens, who are 1-5, to get back into this division. You know, they could become the fifth team in history since the postseason started in 1939. To go 1-5 and make the playoffs. There was 1970 Bengals, the 2015 Chiefs, 2018 Colts, and a 2020 football team of Washington. So they got a chance to make history. I think with both teams on 6-6 records, it's a big chance for whoever wins this game to get a huge advantage. They got to play again in week 18. So, you know, if you can get a win there, you know, it makes it a lot easier into the week 18. So it's tough. It's tough. I'm going to go for the hot hand. Despite their loss last week, I'm going to go for the Ravens to win this game. I think we've seen the Steelers massively 3-4. I don't think Rodgers is fully healthy yet. And I know your feelings on Rodgers, you've made it clear. As a Bears fan, Rodgers being a former Packer. So for me, it's a Baltimore Ravens win for me. And I think this could be a defining win when it comes to the AFC North.
Do you know what? I don't disagree with you. And actually, as much as, you know, I have a sort of historical hatred for Rodgers, he's clearly not the player he was. I was surprised that the Steelers went with him, in all honesty, at the start of the season. But I do think the Ravens, as you say, they've got the better overall roster. They've got a better, they're on a better run. You know, hot hand, I think, is a good phrase, actually, to really describe it. And I do think they go on, they win this, and they take the division. You know, and I think that would be an amazing achievement for them, considering where they were. But I'm all with you on this one, definitely.
Absolutely. I think as well, if the Steelers do this game, you know, they were 4-2, they were 4-2 at one point this year. They were 4-1 even at one point as well. And I think if they're 4-1, and the Ravens are 1-5 after the Steelers' bye week in week 5 or week 6, whatever it was. If they you know, go on and crumble like they have, you know, they have recently. If the form carries on the way it is, and they end up losing this division after such a comfortable lead after the first 6-7 weeks, and I think this is Tomlin's end. I think, you know, Freddie Hall mentioned it on the franchise tag. This feels like his last year with the franchise. I think the way he's gone all in on short-term deals, you think about Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Rodgers. I think personally that, you know, if they were to lose this division and lose it by, you know, after such a strong start to the season, you know, the win in Dublin, I think this could be it for Tomlin personally. And I think, you know, they're going to completely sell the farm, they're going to sell house, they're going to, all the players want short-term deals anyway. Obviously, Rodgers is losing his final year as a player. So I think, yeah, I think this is the end for the Steelers as we know it, as REM would once say. Yeah, I'm going to go for the Ravens to win. And so are you. Next, it involves the team that I think are going to win the AFC in the Denver Broncos as they travel to Vegas and take on the Raiders. I think that's pretty clear what I think about who's going to win this game. I think the Broncos win this in Vegas. Luke, do you agree?
I'm with you on this. I mean, it's interesting, actually, because I think Bo Nix has been efficient this year. I wouldn't say he's been amazing, but he's been efficient. And that's all he's really needed to be, you know, to boss games. And I think that's down to, you know, more roster construction than anything else. But and also I think that the Raiders are just so bad as well. And you know, I think they're a multi-year rebuild project. We've been saying this for years now, right enough about the Raiders, but they are just still terrible. So I think the Broncos win this easily. Really, really easily, actually.
Yeah, I totally agree. So next up is what we call the main event with our fan today. Your team is up next as your Bears travel to your fiercest rivals, Green Bay Packers, in Lambeau Field, the current NFC number one seed and NFC North division leaders in your Bears. Luke, before we get on to who you think is going to win, I mean, how, for you watching as a Bears fan, how great has this season been? Because, you know, I've been a fan of the NFL for 15 years. I missed the Rex Grossman season when he made the Super Bowl. I think for me, this is the best Bears team I've seen since that 2018 season when you made the playoffs and lost to a double doink. This, for me, might even be better than that team. I think the coaching's better. So how good has it been for you to watch this Bears team, and how good has been this season for them?
Well, do you know what? It's been a real breath of fresh air, and Ben Johnson's been everything I hoped he would be. I think he set the standards higher in the organisation and expected and demanded more from the players themselves and the staff. And I think you can see that throughout the organisation. I mean, a lot of the criticism has been, right, that we've had a lot of either luck or play or you know, ease of schedule and all that sort of thing. I accept that. But at the same time, we've still got it done. We've still got a lot of, you know, comeback games and stuff like that. And in situations where we would have folded before, we've shown the kind of resilience. I personally thought last week's game, against the Eagles was probably the best I've seen in a number of years. And on both sides, actually, I thought that we were amazing. And considering that we were picking up linebackers off the street at one point, I thought that we were really, really efficient in defence. And I think defensively, the amount of takeaways that we are generating is really unbelievable. And that comes down to the scheme itself, that you know, some players are just really have fitted so well into that scheme. And we're starting to get healthy on defence as well. So there's a lot of players coming back, which gives me confidence that, you know, between that and generally how well we've been playing in offence, you know, I think we've got every chance. And the funny thing is that actually Caleb Williams hasn't even hit his peak yet. You know, if you look at his stats, he could be more efficient with the ball and he could complete a lot more. So I think that the ceiling is far, far higher than people think for the Bears. And I get that I'm biased about it, but, you know, I think that's a realistic, you know, view of it. I think you've got a great offensive scheme. You've got a proper run game that we're leaning on. And if you look at last week, we absolutely pummeled them in the ground. They had no answers. And I think if you carry on doing that, then that naturally generates opportunities in the air and it generates explosive plays. And I think that's really the signature of Ben Johnson in himself, is the fact that we generate more explosive plays than pretty much anyone there. That gives me real hope for the rest of the season. It's a tough run in, but, you know, you've got to face every team if you want to win. So, you know, bring it on. That's what I say.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the mentioned schedule then. I mean, you know, you have one game against the likes of the Saints, the Commanders, the Bengals without their star players, the Vikings without their star quarterback, you know, the Giants who've won two games all year, the Steelers we just mentioned, the free falling, and didn't have Rodgers playing in this game. If I look at sort of the next few games, I mean, obviously winning in Philadelphia, I think was huge. I think that, you know, I think that win to win in Philly as well. I think the fact that, you know, it's such a hard place to go. I mean, Philly is a really hard place. The fans are loud, but, you know, to get a win there, I think, was for me the biggest statement because, yeah, you can beat the Saints, you can beat the Commanders, but I think, you know, and they lost to the Lions early on in the season and yet they collapsed against the Vikings. But I think, you know, I think it's a real crucial part of the season. You got two next three games against the Packers, you've got the 49ers, then you've got the Lions, who I think personally are missing out the playoffs, but I think they're still a hard team to play against. And you've got the whole factor of Ben Johnson going back to Detroit. And that's a hell of a Week 18 matchup right there. But I think regardless of that, I do think this Bears team, it has been impressive. I think I still think the Patriots still stand as the biggest contenders. I think they are max contenders with their schedule. But I think the win in Philly, I think, is a huge statement for me. But let's predict the game. I'll let you go first, as is your team involved, Luke. Who wins it for you? Is it your Bears or is it the Packers?
I think we go and surprise the Packers in their own backyard. And the reason I'm thinking about that was actually last season, you know, we managed to get a win against them and it was a proper last-minute one as well. But I just generally think that we've got a bit of a hot hand going here and I think that continues. I actually think that we will generate takeaways against the Packers as well. You know, they are good, don't get me wrong. But, you know, we have the hot hand in the minute. I'm going to go with us. It's going to be close. I think it's like, you know, 1.5, 2.5, something like that. And the bookies, I think, have got the Packers as nailed on favourites. I don't buy that at all. I think it's even money at absolute best. I don't think there's anything you can choose between them. Yes, the Packers have got a great defense, but we've got Ben Johnson and we've got a great, you know, we've got a lot of weapons. So I think we're going to edge it this time. We're going to surprise them. And that's my heart talking, but I'm going with my heart today.
I'm really sorry, Luke. I'm going for the Packers to win.
You're dead to me. That's it. You're dead to me.
I think that that home win, that win in Lambeau last year was a bit of a fraudulent win. The Packers backups playing in that game for most of it. So I just think as well, every team's due a loss. The Rams had it last week against the Panthers. I just don't see the Bears keep winning. I think at some point they will lose. But I think in Green Bay, I mean, the Packers have lost to some poor teams. They've beaten some good teams this year. I just think I can see Micah Parsons giving the Bears some trouble. Again, I wouldn't be shocked if the Bears win this game. I really wouldn't. I'd be really impressed with them this season. But I just think in Lambeau Field, always a hard place to go. I'm going to go for the Packers.
One thing to mention, and I think this is really interesting, is I think not enough credit is given to the Bears O-line. And I think that the revamp of the O-line has been really something else. And if you compare the number of sacks taken versus this year, it really is night and day. And I think that's down to the likes of Joe Tooney and Jonah Jackson and people like that. And the sort of signings that they've made on that whole line to sort things out, they have elevated the other players there. And I think that might be a difference maker. So I just thought that was really interesting. But not enough credit is given on that side of things.
I agree. Moving on to our last of the 9 p.m. slate, as the Cardinals host the LA Rams in a NFC West showdown. I'm going to go for a win for the Rams. I don't see them losing two games in a row, and I don't think the Cardinals are that tough of an opponent to make me think they're going to lose two games in a row. I think it's a convincing win for the Rams. I think they'll show everyone once again the team they are. I think last week was a bit of a blip, a bit of an outlier to their season so far. I just think, against this Cardinals team, I think they're, like the Falcons, a really hard team to predict. They're so up and down, and I think they've been really, really poor this year. So I'm going to go for the Rams. Luke, do you agree?
Yeah, I'm going to go Rams as well, actually. I think the Rams have been great. They've been balling it all the way, actually. And you've got to give them credit for, you know, how they played this year. You know, really, really impressive. So, and I don't think the Cardinals are any great shakes. I don't think they're going to give them really that much trouble. So I'm with you on this.
Well, penultimate game is Sunday Night Football as the Chiefs host the Texans in a huge game in terms of the playoffs. Of course, we mentioned then before, Jags take on the Colts. Big AFC South game. Both teams are one win clear of the Texans. So the Texans can get closer towards at least one of those two teams in their battle to try and win this division. And against a Chiefs team that is, you know, needs a lot to go their way. They're currently 2 games behind the Bills in the playoff hunt at the moment. So it's looking like the Chiefs are sort of in win now mode, win every game mode. I think they're going to have, I think Mahomes even talked about it. I think he said that he, you know, they need to start winning every game. But they got a tough game against his Texans defense, who caused problems in their last game. I've actually forgotten who it was against. But, oh, against the Colts.
Yeah.
So this Texans team for me, and of course we all saw what happened in the Bills game as well. That Bills game was really frightening from that defense. And I can see this defense getting to the Chiefs again. Now, I said this about the Colts. I said the Chiefs would win against the Colts, but I did say this Colts team caused problems. So at Arrowhead, I could be proved wrong, and you know the Chiefs could win this game. But I think there'll be a little bit in the Texans' minds, certainly the fans' minds, what happened in that playoff game when they were 24 points up in the second quarter. And I think in the same arena, I think there'll be a lot of Texans fans, whether they're going to the game, they attend, or whether they're watching on TV, that will still have PTSD from that game. And I think there'll be a lot of, I think, aim for the team to make sort of make amends for that and sort of get revenge on the Chiefs for that defeat all those years ago. So I'm going to go for the Texans. Tough place to go, but I think they might do it with that defense.
I think you're probably right on the money there. And I'll tell you something else. The one thing that I think is a problem for the Chiefs is they have not been able to get the run game going in any real meaningful way. And I think that has really hurt them massively. And you know, it's been an ongoing issue for them the whole season. I do think the fact that they're playing with home field advantage does help, but it may not be enough. I just don't think they're good enough this year on both sides of the ball. And Patrick Mahomes aside, you have to wonder, you know, kind of what's going on. Maybe this is Andy Reid's last season, because the way they're playing, I don't know if the players maybe know that this is his last season, but I wouldn't be surprised. But I actually think you're right. I think the Texans win this. I think it'll be close, but I think the Texans win this, and then the Chiefs are eliminated. And, you know, I think as our fellow AFC West fan will not be disappointed with that. I think he is not a fan of the Chiefs, let's just put it that way, mildly.
Shout out to Chris if he is listening to the show, and I hope you've opened up from our last meeting back in October with Steve. The final game is Monday Night Football on ESPN, of course, as the Eagles travel to SoFi Stadium and take on the Chargers. Luke, who wins this for you?
This is really, really interesting, right? Because honestly, I think there's a lot of turmoil in this Eagles organization. And you know, everything I've read, and a lot of people are saying this, but I think there's a genuine doubt about Hurts as their quarterback. And I think that's feeding through into the team. And so I think there's a lot of unrest that maybe, you know, some of it's been hinted at. I think there's a lot more than you think. This Chargers team could take them. They really could. They could build one last week. I think they weren't expecting to be steamrolled so much last week. The Eagles, I mean. And I think it's going to be tough for them. I actually think the Chargers are going to win this. I think it'll be close, but I actually have the Chargers to do it. And I don't know why. It's just a sneaky feel that I have on it. But I feel for Eagles fans a little bit. But sorry, Steve. By the way, I've been giving him it good all week.
Oh, I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. You deserve to.
Sorry, not sorry, but he's been giving it to me the double doink for years. So this week has been a lot of fun. But no, in general terms, and you know, as a sort of neutral, I just think the Chargers are going to edge this. I think that might be a little bit of turmoil on the Eagles' side that's causing this. So, yeah, that's kind of my call on it.
I've said it before, I would love to have been in that room when the Eagles took on the Bears in that double dunk game. I love, I know you both watched it together. I would love to have been in that room. I'd have absolutely loved it. I know you obviously wouldn't have enjoyed it at the time, but I'd love to have been in that room. I really do. I can picture right now. It's just, oh my God. Amazing.
Two boys from Glasgow having a bit of a disappointment. You know, the there was threats of throwing out windows and stuff like that. I've got to be honest with you.
I'm going for the Eagles to win. I think this could be a game where they can get their season back on track. Now, they had a bit of a downturn last year. They went 2-2 at one point, turned around. Baldiani came out and everything changed. So, yeah, I do. There's definitely something not right with the Eagles. There's something not right, whether it's the AJ Brown situation, whether it's Hurts. But I don't see them losing two in another game. I don't see them losing three in a row. I think they're too talented a team overall to lose three in a row. So I think this Chargers team, I think they've been good, but I think they're a bit hit and miss. I think the missing O-lineman Joe Alt is going to be big, I think, as well for them. And I just think that I think as a talented player, I think he's up there with the fullback. I do question Herbert's mentality and ability to perform in big moments and big spots. I think this time of year, where every game matters, they're trying to get into the playoffs. They've got eight wins at the moment. They're looking to try and confirm a playoff spot, and there's nothing more chargery than making it hard for yourself. So, yeah, I'm going to go for the Eagles to win. I just don't see them losing three games in a row. There we are. That is our predictions done for Week 14. We've in total got 5 games with different outcome predictions. So we've both gone for wins for the Bills, Browns, Commanders, Bucks, Jags, Ravens, Broncos, Rams, and Texans. Whereas Dallas against Detroit, I've gone for the Cowboys. Luke has gone for the Lions. Falcons against Seahawks, Luke has gone for the Falcons. I have gone for the Seahawks. Dolphins against Jets, I have gone for the Dolphins, and Luke has gone for the Jets. In Packers-Bears, of course Luke has gone for his Bears. I've gone for the Packers. And then finally, our Monday Night Football prediction, I went for the Eagles to beat the Chargers. Luke went for the Chargers to beat the Eagles. And there we are. That is the end of the show. So, Luke, first of all, once again, thank you for coming on. Thank you for coming on so early in your morning there in Australia.
Mate, it's my absolute pleasure. And it's been great to chat all things football. I have missed this. So, my pleasure anytime. And have an enjoyable evening. And hopefully I'm wrong about the Dolphins. Hopefully I'm wrong.
I hope you are too.
Bear down. Come on.
Well, that is a great way to end the show. And I'm glad you're having a great time in Australia. And I look forward to seeing you soon. But in the meantime, this is the Across the Pod NFL podcast, our Week 14 preview, with, as ever, your host today, in myself, Andy Davis, and our guest today, in Luke Campbell, Down Under. And we'll see you guys next time. Take care.